2014 is going to be a big year at the plant. You know, we have two different organizations that operate the plant. Bubbly Dynamics owns the physical plant and the renewable energy system, and then Plant Chicago is our research and education arm. It's a nonprofit. On the bubbly side, we have breweries moving in. We have two bakeries operating right now. We have five farms operating within the building. A cheese distributor, Great American Cheese Collection, is moving in as soon as we can get the new refrigeration system finished. So we're working on many fronts with recycled materials, using what we have, not what we wish we had. And that's kind of the key behind how we do things at the plant.
So what's the update on the anaerobic digester? Obviously, the plant and the concept is that it be a closed-loop facility. Give us a sense of where everything stands with that digester. I understand you got about $1.5 million DCEO grant. What's kind of the timeline on that?
Well, the digester is a very big and complicated project. And so we're in the thick of construction now. The bulk of the large equipment is out in the yard. The remaining portion is to hook all of that up and connect it to the internal building systems. We are going to be putting in a gen set that will burn that biogas. That's not on site yet. I think by the end of this year, everything will be operational and will be well beyond net zero.
And when you say gen set, you mean a generator, is that right?
Yes, that's right. In this case, we're using a reciprocating engine. We've gone through some trials and tribulations of figuring out what the most efficient way to turn the biogas into electricity and heat is, and settled on reciprocating.
And why is that, just kind of in layman's terms? People who are just hearing about anaerobic digestion and how it can produce electricity, when somebody walks up to you off the street and asks you what you're doing, what's the explanation that you give?
Well, we live in a society that's filled with waste. And all around us, we are putting waste down a hole somewhere. We have no idea where it goes. It just disappears. And when you look at what goes down that hole, it's actually quite valuable, especially in the case of food waste. In any major metropolitan area or minor metropolitan area, massive amounts of usable material are put into the ground, just buried in landfills. So if you can harvest some of that and harness the energy that's in it, not only is it a way to essentially get free energy, believe it or not, it's actually an income stream for the plant. So there are tipping fees associated with dumping any kind of waste. By locating an anaerobic digester in the middle of a city, which is a very unusual thing, there are plenty of digesters around, but really they don't exist in the middle of cities. But that's where the waste is. That's where the highest concentration is. And that's where we need the most energy.
And what did you have to do to get the state on board to support a project of this scale, of this unique location, as you mentioned? You know, what went into that application process?
Well, the state's been an excellent partner for us, and the governor's office, Governor Quinn's office, and DCEO have been absolutely fabulous in supporting the project. We basically just had to show them what the benefits were going to be, and they said, wow, that's great. This is what we should be doing. Our way of building support is to bring people out, show them the benefits, tell them about all the jobs that are being created right here in the city, and that's really what we need to do.
And turning now from the energy production and energy recycling to the topic and the industry of hydroponics and aquaponics, what issues do you find are moving around getting agriculture into old buildings as you look at that industry?
The notion that most people have of vertical farming comes from these beautiful renderings of glass skyscrapers in the middle of Manhattan or other big cities. And the reality of it is that farming is a marginal business at best. It is one of the harder things that you can do. The margins are tight, the risks are very high, and there's a lot of competition. And so having to pay an enormous amount of money for real estate, either the cost of the land or certainly the construction of the building, it just doesn't work. And so that's why building vertical farms inside of existing industrial facilities, derelict industrial facilities, makes a lot more sense. I purchased what we now call the plant for about $5.50 a square foot. That's not uncommon when you're talking about vacant industrial space. What it has and what it has to offer is heavy floor loadings. In this case, it was a former pork packing plant, and so it's got food-grade features like floor drains and high ceilings, and it's very well located for transportation and the workforce.
I wanted to touch briefly on the fundraising efforts that you've done just in the past several months to get the lobby accessible to wheelchairs and the disabled, and what your plans are as we move forward into 2014 for that sort of revisioning and revamping of the entryway into your facility.
Sure. The lobby and the entrance is obviously a very important part of the building, because that's where you're welcoming your visitors. Not only will the new ramp that we're fabricating from scrap steel from within the building, as a matter of fact, not only will it make the building ADA accessible, but it's also very convenient for our tenants, who often deliver on carts to vans, and so they don't necessarily have giant 53-foot trailers coming to pick up the bread. And so we all use hand trucks and carts, and that it helps us with that. We've started the construction on the lobby, and it will take us a little while. We have to do a fair amount of deconstruction first, but I expect that will be online and completed probably in early summer.
And I wanted to touch on the issue of scalability. There are challenges, from what I'm learning, about being able to scale up to reach a certain customer base. What issues or challenges do you face, do you see with yourself or others in trying to get to a certain level of production?
You know, the challenge with any of these growing operations is, of course, the scale. There is the high-end market, certainly, and that's essentially the low-hanging fruit, where you're selling microgreens to restaurants, for instance, or to even at farmers markets. But getting into the wholesale distribution chain is really where a farm needs to be. And at this point, I think three of our farms are in wholesale distribution. At this point, one of the five farms in the building has absolutely proven the concept that it is possible to grow greens under entirely artificial lighting inside of a building, paying full electrical rates, rent, and labor, and actually make a profit. And they're expanding right now. So that's a proof of concept for the underlying ideas behind the plant. And as we scale that up, the margins will get better and better for those businesses.
The majority of the people that I speak with in my reporting ventures are horizontal farmers, if you will. You know, they're out on the land, they love it. Do you ever see vertical farming competing to scale with some of the rich? I mean, we've got a lot of land in Illinois, maybe not in Cook County, but do you ever see that the business model that you're helping to nurture is going to be able to reach that level of production either here in Chicago or around the country? What are you seeing?
You know, we live here in one of the greatest markets for food anywhere, and there's places for every kind of farming, every style of farming, and certain methods will be more efficient in certain places. And I see all of this as complementary. I don't see it as competition. Even within the urban farms or vertical farms within a city, we don't see each other as competitors. We all work together. Ultimately, we're fighting against larger corporations that are bringing food in from greater distances. And the goal of all of this is to create those jobs and to grow the food as locally as possible in order to reduce the pollution associated with its transport, the costs associated with its transport, and to keep those dollars here close to home. Whether it's in central Illinois or in Chicago, it doesn't matter. You want to keep that economy as local as possible. These days, a great deal of the food that we consume actually comes from outside of the country, even China. And, you know, the controls on how it's grown just aren't there. And if we do it here within our own borders, we know the quality is going to be there. We also know that our dollars are staying local, and that's really key.
There are people who are able to reach the high-end restaurant market, the grocery store market, and are doing quite well and are scaling up themselves. They have a very different business model than yours, which has, I think, a social component there. Your comments on, you know, the vast difference that exists even within vertical farming in Chicago.
Well, you know, all of us have different reasons for doing what we do, and the plant is a vision-based organization and project, meaning we're looking at a greater looking for greater social change, and we're trying to build a replicable model. And so our farm, Plant Chicago, also is working on that replicable model. There are plenty of farms that are just strictly about the bottom line, but I think in order to be successful at anything, you have to really follow your vision and follow those end goals and not lose sight of that. So what we're really trying to get at here is to demonstrate this replicable model, where we can show that by taking cast-off communities, cast-off buildings, cast-off waste, in our case it'll be about 32 tons a day, that you can get to a point where you're quite profitable. And so if we can do this for very little capital, quite frankly, what's the rest of corporate America's excuse? How come they can't shave 10, 20, 30% of their energy costs off?
When you look at corporate America, is that an adversarial kind of perspective that you got? In other words, are you trying to teach the Walton family how to do business, or are you simply providing some alternatives?
No, we're not trying to school anybody. We're operating very much outside of that culture, but we're a new kind of a culture. It's a more of a grassroots culture, and it's coming out of communities. And my hope is that we will see many more communities around the state, around the country, taking pieces of what we do, not necessarily replicating the entire plant model, but taking a piece. Maybe you're going to do combined heat and power. Maybe it's just the combination of farming and something else, farming and X, farming and manufacturing, residential, office space, whatever it is. There are synergies between waste producers and waste consumers, and farms are both of those things.